Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter of Hilchas Gzela Vaveda, the laws involving robbery and lost objects and found objects. This chapter primarily deals with the laws of Keren V'Chemish, a case when someone has stolen something, or another case, which we will now explain, when he is required to pay back not only the object which was taken, but also an additional fifth, as explained in the Torah in the end of Parshas Vayikra. Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter, Halacha Aleph. Kol Mishn is Chayev Maman Lachaveroi HaYisraeli. Anyone that owes money to his fellow Jew, Vekofar Bey, and he denies owing him any money, Venishba Al Sheker, and then he takes an oath that he does not owe any money. And later on, of course, he has found that he does owe. Harezech Hayev Lahachzir Le HaKeren Shekofar Bey. He is responsible to not only to return the Keren, meaning the value that he denied, but he Sofes Chemish, and he has to add on one fifth, which, as the Rambam explains in Halacha Zayin, is really one-fourth of the amount which was stolen. Let's say, for example, $4 was stolen, and he denies and swears that he did not steal the $4, and later on the truth is discovered, he must pay back $5. And the additional dollar is called a chemesh, a fifth, because it is a fifth of the total payment he is giving back, not a fifth of the original amount, rather a fourth of the original amount. In addition, v'chayef b'korban, he is responsible to bring a sacrifice. V'hu anikra asham gzeles. It is known as an asham gzeles, the asham, the guilt offering associated with theft. As there are six different types of ashames, of guilt offerings, and this is one of them. In order to atone for the false oath which he took, he is responsible to bring this sort of asham, which, as explained in the Chumash, is an ayil. One ram, the laws of which are explained earlier in the Rambam's legal code. Halacha beis. Under what conditions is he required to return the money? Echot ha-gezel, regardless of whether he stole it by force, ha-eshek, or whether he took it in a way known as eshek. As we explained in Perek Aleph, this means that the money came into his hands originally according to the will of the owner of the money. However, later on, when he wanted to get his money back, the person is now holding on to it. So Reuven gave Shimon some money intentionally. Now that he wants it back, Shimon refuses to give it. This is Eishek. Oy ha-gainev, or someone that steals it secretly. Oy shehil vohu, or money was lent to him. Oy shehifkit etzlei, or money was given to him as for safeguarding, as a pikodein, that he should watch it. Oy motza aveda, or a person even found a lost object. And later on, when the owner asks him, did you find anything? And he claims his object, v'kicheshba, and he denies having either any of these cases, he denies having found it, or he denies the pikodein, or so on. Or another case, Shahayisa Beneim Shutfis, or there was a partnership between two people, Venishur Layetzli Maman, and money is being held by one partner of the Shutfis. This is apparently what's referred to in the Pazak as Pesumis Yad, referring in this case to a Shutfis. A Shahasale Malacha, Velay Nasan Lay Schare, or you did work for someone, and then the person did not give you your wages. This is also a kind of Eshek, that the person owes you money. Klal shel davar, the general principle is, kol she'ilo hoda chayiv l'shalem, any case where if you admit the facts of the case, you would be required to pay, but then, according to the halacha, meaning not only to be yetziv b'dei shamayim, to avoid some sort of punishment, and not only you would have to pay as a result of a fine, but you are absolutely required to pay. Such as all of these cases over here, you are required to pay back the gzela and the gneva and the pikadin and so on. If it's any of these cases, v'kafar v'nishba, and you denied having done any of these things, and you swore, you took an oath that was the case, in any of these cases, meshalim keren v'chemish, you must pay back the value of the object plus an additional fifth, as we explained in the last halacha. And And the reason we know that in all of these cases you must do so, Shanemar, it says in Vayikra, the end of Parshas Vayikra, Pasuk Chaf Aleph in Perakei, V'chichesh ba'misei b'fikodein, that he denied his neighbor, he contradicted his neighbor's claim in a case of a pikadin, of an object left for safekeeping, and in the verse lists all of the other cases, which they all have in common, this fact that if the accused would admit that he took or borrowed or whatever the case is, this particular object, he would be required to pay. Now that he's taken a false oath and denied having done so, he is required not only to pay back, but to pay back an additional fifth. However, halacha gimel, b'med varim amurim, when does this apply? That he must pay back not only the keren varachaymesh, kishoho yechayev l'shalei machmas atzmei, when it is he himself who is responsible to repay. He is the one that stole, or he is the one that took the loan. Avalim ho yechayev l'shalei machmas aviv, but if he is required to pay as a result of his father's act, ein mishalem chaymesh, he does not then pay back the additional fifth. Ketzad, for example, for example, his father stole by force, or he stole secretly, or he owes money to someone else. And the son knows that his father owed this money. And the son denies that his father owed any money, and now he takes an oath. And later on, he admitted that his father owed the money. The law is Meshalem Aken Bilvad. He must pay back only the main amount which his father stole. How do we know that the law does not apply here as well, that he must pay the fifth? After all, he also knew that his father stole it and his father owed the money. Now, since he has inherited the estate, it is his responsibility to repay. Why should he escape paying the extra fifth? Shenemar, it says in Pasuk, Asher Gozal. After he has discovered, he must return the object which was stolen. And we learn out from this, he must pay back an additional fifth when it was his stolen object. But he does not have to pay the additional fifth if it was something his father stole. Because the verse says, when does he have to pay back the keren? And chemesh, when is hagzeil asher gozel? When it was the object which he stole. But if it was something his father stole, then he is not required to pay back the fifth. Halacha Dalit. However, Bamed Varim Amurim, when does this apply? That the Yerush does not have to, one that inherited the estate, the son, does not have to pay back the additional fifth as a result of his own false oath on what his father stole. B'sha'ein Hagzela Kayemis. Only if the original stolen object is no longer in existence. And we are only speaking about returning the value of the object. In that case, if he denies owing any money and swears to that effect, and later on admits that his oath was false, and he knows his father did steal the money, and he therefore owes it, then he pays back only the amount, and not the additional fifth. Avalim gozal avi v'meis. But if his father stole something and then died, v'harei agzela kayemis, and today the stolen object is still in existence, the kafir hayerish v'nishpa, and the inheritor of the estate, the son, denies having that his father stole anything, denies it is in his possession, and swears to that effect. And later on he admits that he lied, he took a false oath. In this case, since the original object still exists, he must pay back not only the original object and return it as it is, but must pay back an additional fifth, one quarter of the total value of this object. Let's say the father stole something, and then he swore that he didn't steal. And then later on, he admitted. So at that point, he admitted that he did steal. So at that point, the father was required to pay back not only the principal amount, but also the additional fifth. And then he died. In such a case, in this case, certainly, the one that inherits the estate, his son must pay back not only the amount, but the fifth as well. Since here we're not talking about making the son himself required to pay back the fifth. The fifth is already part of the total money owed by the estate, since his father was mechuyev to pay back the additional fifth. Therefore, the death of the father does not remove this responsibility from the estate. halacha vav. However, gozel v'nishba v'meis. Let's say the father stole, and then he took a false oath v'meis, and then he died before he had a chance to admit that he stole it. V'hayda hayedish. But who admits? The son admits that his father stole. So on the one hand, the oath was taken by the father. And there was no Haydah. There was Haydah, the son admits that his father stole. But the son is not responsible because he didn't take the oath. Without both of these two things, without the oath and the later admittance that it was a false oath, we'd have no responsibility of paying the chaymish. Hayedish meshalim akeren bilvat. The one that inherits the estate, the son, must pay back only the principal. That since there was not one person both taking the false oath and then later admitting it was false, since one of these two factors is missing, he pays only the principal and not the additional fifth. U'bein kach, and regardless of whether it's this case where he does not have to pay the chaymish, or in a case where the son does have to pay back the additional fifth, poter mina oshem, he is exempt from bringing the sacrifice, the guilt offering associated with this asham gzeles. And the Gemara gives the reason that since the sacrifice is brought as a kapara, as an atonement for the person that did the act, ain kapara lemeisim. Once he's died already, there's no concept of kapara, there's no concept of atonement. And therefore, it is useless to now bring the sacrifice in order to compensate or make an atonement for what he did. He's already passed away. And atonement through the sacrifices is now impossible. Halacha Zayim. Hanishba Lagoy, someone who was accused of stealing from a non-Jew, and takes an oath that he did not steal from the non-Jew. He is responsible to pay back the principal, but does not have to pay back the additional fifth. Because it says in Pasuk, V'chicheish b'amisei, that he denied the accusation of his neighbor. Amisei means, im she'itcha b'teiru m'mitzis, that a nation which it can, amisei, has the word am, and ite, a nation, which is with you, in other words, a member of the nation, which is with you in Teirah Mitzvahs, meaning of your fellow Jew. Anytime you have the word amisech or amise, it's referring to a Jew. And since the verse says that when do you have to pay back the fifth, the additional fifth, when you are denying your neighbor, this comes to exclude the case where you make a false oath against a non-Jew. However, certainly the amount which was stolen must be returned. And so too, someone that stole less than the value of a pruta, which is the lowest currency with which someone can buy something, the kafar v'nishba, and he denied having stolen it, and later on takes an oath to that effect, and later on admits having done so, ein achayev v'chemish. He does not have to pay back the chemish. Shein pachas mishev a pruta moment, because less than the value of a pruta is not considered money to the effect that one would have to pay the additional chaymish. Anyway, it would be impossible to pay a chaymish. It's less than a chaymish of a fourth of a pruta. Less than a fourth of a pruta. How would he pay it back anyway? But that's not the point. The point is that it's not considered mammon. As we mentioned earlier, at the beginning of these halachas, that in the law of hashavas hagzela, of returning a stolen object, although one transgresses a biblical prohibition of chatzi shir by stealing even less than a sheva pruta, nevertheless, the requirement to return the stolen object only applies if there was at least a pruta, not less than a pruta. And although one is forbidden from stealing it, it is not considered money to the extent that one is required halachically to return it. Kamahu achemish. Now the Rambam defines, how much is the chemish? How much is a fifth? There are two ways of figuring out a fifth. It could be, let's say a person stole $100. We could figure it out one-fifth of $100, which would be 20, so you'd have to pay back 120. That is known as a fifth from the inside, milagav. Otherwise, we could say that the fine should be one-fifth of the total amount, which we would figure out by taking a fourth of what was stolen. And if it was $100 stolen, he would have to pay $25. So if he would pay a total of $125, one-fifth of the total, milabar, a fifth from the outside, from the total amount, this would be a fifth milavar. The Gemara discusses in the case of Maiser Sheni that Maaser Sheni must be eaten in Yerushalayim. Should one not want to eat it in Yerushalayim, he is allowed to redeem it by adding on a fifth. And then he can spend that money later on in Yerushalayim to buy food, and he can eat the fruit or whatever, the Maaser Sheni, outside Yerushalayim. How much is a fifth? In that case, the Gemara goes through the discussion and comes up with the following conclusion. Echad me'arba bekeren, one-fourth of the total amount. Shim gozel sheva arba, if he stole, in this case, the amount of something worth four, v'nishba, and then he took his oath, and then he admitted having taken a false oath, meshalim chamesha, he must pay back five, and therefore one-fifth of the total is the fine. And since in the Gemara they learn out in the case of Maaser Sheni, we make the calculation this way, that Rambam applies the same calculation here to the case of a person who swears regarding a theft. Let's say that the stolen object is still in existence. He must return the object itself. How then can he add on one quarter of the value of the object? That he gives in money. He gives money one fourth of the value of the object. So if the object was worth four, he gives about the object plus one. And in this way he fulfills the law of giving back the chaimish. Halacha ches. Ein anishbal kfiras mamin. Meshalim chemesh ashiyede me'atzmei. A person who swore in a case of denial of financial responsibility, he is not required to pay back the additional one-fifth until he agrees and admits that he has taken a false oath. But if witnesses come along and they contest his testimony and they contest his oath and he stands in his previous state of kfira, he denies that he owes anything. Reuben is accused of stealing from Shimon and he takes an oath that he stole nothing. Along come witnesses and testify that Reuben did steal, but Reuben still does not admit. In such a case, Meshalim Akeren Bilvat, Al Pi Edim. He is responsible to pay back only the principal amount he is accused of stealing, according to the testimony of the witnesses. Ve'ena Meshalim Esachemish. In this case, he does not pay the additional fifth. Why should it be different? Why should it be worse if he admits than in the case that he does not admit and he is found by witnesses? We take witnesses as a total proof that the theft has taken place. So that Rambam explains here that it is not better that he is now escaping to pay the chaimish, it is actually worse. Shachaimish im makorben lakapara heimboim. The idea of the extra fifth, and also the idea of the sacrifice, are for kapara as an atonement for the sin he has done by taking a false oath. Veina meviyason el al piatzme. He can only bring them if he himself admits. What good is it going to do to make him pay the fifth if he doesn't even admit he owns it? He stole anything in the first place. It is only good when the person is doing tshuva and now needs an atonement after they have done tshuva. If he hasn't done any tshuva, well, how can he get atonement for a sin? He is still holding on to a sin. He is still denying that he stole anything in the first place. So therefore, if he admits, he must pay the fifth, because in this case the fifth will help in order to achieve his atonement. However, if he is only discovered by witnesses, why should he give the fifth? The fifth also is not going to help to get his atonement, since he is still holding on to his previous sin. He is still denying having stolen anything in the first place. Since he is not doing tshuva, the atonement will be ineffective, and therefore he is not responsible to bring either the additional fifth or the sacrifice. As we've been mentioning, he must bring the additional fifth after denying the accusation and then taking a false oath to substantiate his claim. What happens if he only denies having this money, but he does not swear to that effect? Halacha tes. Hagezel es chavere. Someone that steals from his neighbor, afo pisha kofar bei, even though he denies the accusation of his neighbor, as long as he did not take an oath, if later on he admits having stolen it, of course he does not have to give back the fifth, but is he responsible to find the original owner to return it? He is not responsible to chase after the original owners in order to return to them the money. But he is allowed to hold on to it until the owners come back and take the money which belongs to them. That since he did not take an oath, as long as he was not willing to swear, the original owners have not given up hope. They have not been miyayish from getting back this object. Certainly they're going to come back and demand it again. And therefore the thief does not have to chase after them in order to return the object. Avalim nishpal sheva pruta umola. However, if he took an oath on even a sheva pruta, on the slightest amount, and therefore acted falsely, acted wickedly in taking a false oath, and then later on he comes and wants to return the object, chayev lir devachar abaylim, he is required to chase after the owners, ashiyachzir lahem, afilu hem biyiyah hayom, and he must return it to them, even if they are found far away in the islands of the sea, he is responsible to find them to return the object. Mipnei shekvar nisyashu miyachar shenishba, ve'einan bo'inayt latovi, since they have already given hope since he has taken his oath, and since they have given up hope, they're not going to come back to try to get the object. He has taken his oath. They think there's no way of getting it back. And finished, they're not going to come back. So if he has taken an oath and he now wants to return it, he is required to chase after them in order to find them. Halacha Yud, afilu hechzir agzeila kula. And even if he returns the entire stolen object, chutz misheva pruta, except for a small amount of it, at least a pruta's worth, chayav leilicha achar anigzo, he must bring the remaining amount which he has stolen and himself transport it to bring it personally back to the one who he stole from. V'lo yitein leili v'nei shal nigzo v'lo yishluchei. He is not allowed to return it to the child of the one who was robbed, or even to the messenger, the representative of the one who was robbed, unless he is an official representative. Eleim kein also anigzo hashliach pe'edim, unless the one who was robbed made a certain person, a shliach, a proxy in the presence of witnesses, then he stands in the place of the one that sent him as far as everything is concerned, and the robber is allowed to return it to the shliach. Vim hevi es agzeila v'esachemish lebezden shebeirei. But as long as the thief brings back the amount together with the additional fifth which he owes to the court in his city, he is automatically exempt from his repayment, and he can bring his sacrifice, his asham, his guilt offering, and it will achieve atonement for him. And then the court will take care of the returned amount, the keren and chemish, until it comes back to the original owner. In other words, he can gain atonement even though the one that was robbed has not yet received repayment. Since he has given it over to the court now takes responsibility for returning it to the original owner, and he can bring a sacrifice and achieve atonement. So too he can give it to a representative of the Bezdin. And anyone who gives the stolen object or similar money which is owed to someone else, it is given to the court in order for them to return it, he has satisfied his obligation. The Gemara explains this was done in order to encourage people to do tshuva, that if they were responsible to return it in such a case all the way back to the original owner and spend a great deal of money, it might prevent them from doing tshuva. Therefore, in order to facilitate their repentance and their correction of their false, of their damaging act, they made it easier for them and allowed them to return it to the court in the city. In the next halacha, the Rambam gives us other cases in which the thief is responsible to bring it back to the original owner, the money he owes, as opposed to just holding it in his possession until the original owner comes to claim it. The general principle which will guide us through this halacha is that he is only required to do so when he owes the keren and not the chemish, the principal amount, as opposed to the additional fifth. In addition, he must owe at least one pruta of the keren. If it is less than one pruta of the keren, he does not have to return it to the owner. He can even wait until the owner comes to him, either for less than a pruta worth of the keren, or for any part of the chemish. The Rambam, however, will bring down the laws the other way around to discuss all the pratim, but this is the principle which will guide us throughout this halacha. Halacha Yud Aleph. Nosan leyas a keren, v'lay nosan leyas a chemish. He returned the main amount, the principal, but he did not return the additional fifth. Aisha machal leyas a keren, v'lay machal leyas a chemish. Or the original owner has forgiven the amount, the principal, and requires only that he return the chaimish. Or he forgave him, and that he does not have to pay back either the principal or the additional fifth, except for less than a pruta's amount worth of the principal. So in the first case, he has to return only the chemish. In the second case, also only the chemish. And in the third case, he only has to return less of a sheva prutah's worth of the keren. In any of these cases, einat tzarech la'ilich acharav, he does not have to bring the owed amount back to the one, to the victim, eliyave anigzel v'yitel es ashar. But he can hold on to it until the victim comes and takes the amount which he is owed. And even though the stolen object is still in existence, so what happened? Let's say he stole a car, and the car was forgiven to him. You don't have to return it to me, except you have to give me back part of the car, which is worth less than a sheva pruta. Now the car is still in existence. We do not worry. Perhaps the car will go up in value. The remaining part will be worth now a sheva pruta. Let's say that he decided that although he's going to keep the car, he has to return back something which is worth less than a sheva pruta. Say a button from inside the upholstery or something of the sort. And what happens? Suddenly, it could happen that there would be inflation, or there would be a big demand for the buttons of the upholstery, and it would elevate in value, and that would be more than a sheva pruta. What would happen? Since it's more than a sheva pruta, he would now be required to bring it back to the owner. And as long as he does not, he is still holding on to stolen goods. So perhaps we should tell him that even though he only has to return back, he is only responsible for an amount which is less than a sheva pruta, and he's not required to chase after the original owner. Nevertheless, he should do so, because perhaps it will elevate in price, and he's holding on to a pruta. So Rambam tells us, we do not worry about such a thing. He can wait until the owner comes. But if conversely, he returned only the fifth and did not return the principal, so he owes the whole principal. Or he was forgiven to pay the penalty, the additional fifth, but he was not forgiven to pay the principal, so he also owns the whole principal. Or he was forgiven both the fifth and the principal, except for a pruta's amount worth of the keren. So in any of these three cases, he is responsible for the keren. Then it is his responsibility to return it, either to transport it to the victim, or to give it to the court in his city, as we discussed in the last halacha, that the sages made it easier for him to do tshuva, that he can return it even to the bezdin. In speaking of the penalty of paying back the extra fifth, the Torah uses the expression of v'chamishisav yeseif alav, that he must add on to the principal, must add on the fifth. However, v'chamishisav is lashon rabim, is a plural form. Literally, he must add on to it the fifths, meaning that there is more than one-fifth. The last two halachas of the perek will explain cases in which a person will have to pay back more than one-fifth. Halacha Yud Beis. Hamach Zeres HaKeren LeBailim. Someone that we're starting off with a case here of someone that has taken a false oath and later on has admitted that he took a false oath and is therefore required to pay back the keren, the principal, and the chemesh, the additional fifth. And then what happened? Hamachzir as a keren labailim. He returned back the principal. V'kafar pam shnia b'chemesh v'nishbalov. And now he denies a second time in the chemesh. He denies in the case of the fifth, and he takes an oath. Let's say, for example, Reuven says that Shimon owes him $100. And Shimon denies owing the money, and he takes an oath. And later on, Shimon admits that he did owe the hundred, that he owes the hundred. So what's the law? Shimon has to pay back the hundred that he owes, plus an additional fifth of the total, meaning $125. So what happens? Shimon gave back $100. Reuven says, what happened to my other 25? And Shimon says, what do you mean? I gave you the 25. I don't owe you anything. And so he's now denying, just as he first denied the 100, the keren, now he's denying the 25, the chemish. V'nishbalav. And then he took an oath that he does not owe the 25. What happens? Nasa chaimish kekeren lechol davar. U'mashalim alav chaimish acher. This chaimish, this fifth, this $25 becomes like a new debt. Let's say later on Shimon should admit that he does owe the additional 25 and he took a false oath when he said that he didn't owe it. It becomes like a new keren, and now he has to pay one-fifth of that. Shenemar v'chamishi sov yisuf alav. It says in Pasuk that all of the fifth he must add on. Meaning what? That even though he already has paid a fifth, this fifth itself is not money he originally stole. This was only a fine, so to speak, or part of his atonement, in addition to the original amount he stole, as a necessary step of achieving his atonement. Now he is only denying that. But we learn that many fifths are taken, so therefore he has to add on a fifth to that. Malamet, this teaches us, the fact that a plural form is used teaches us, shumaisif chaimish al chaimish, that he adds on a fifth to this fifth, and therefore he must pay back, instead of only the $25, he must pay back an additional $6.25, one-fourth of $25. So we'll have to pay back $31.25. And let's say now, he pays back the 25 and doesn't pay back the 6.25. In other words, the new keren, the new principal, he pays back. But the new chemish, the new fifth, he denies, and he takes an oath. Then we'll take the 6.25, and we'll take one-fifth of that, one-quarter of that, and then so it's one-fifth of the total. And we'll have to do that, and then so on and so on. We keep adding a chemish onto a chemish. Ashis mait ha chemish sheyichpar bei v'nishpa lav misheva pruta. Until the chemish that he is denying and swearing about is so small, it's even less than a sheva pruta. Because once it is less than the value of a pruta, then we can no longer add a chemish to it, as we explained earlier in these halachas. But in general, until it gets to that point, even the chaimish, the new chaimish, the new fifth, should he deny that and take an oath and later on admit, it is considered like a regular keren, regular principal that he owes, and therefore he's required to pay it back with the additional chaimish. Now Allah Yud Gimel, the final Allah of the Perek. Misha Ayu Etzlik Tikodim. Someone that was holding on to an object for security. He was watching it for somebody, for safekeeping. V'tansha Avad V'nishpa. And he claims that the object was lost. He says, I don't have it, it was lost. And he takes an oath that it was lost. V'chazer V'heidishu Etzlei. And now he admits that he was really still holding on to it. So what happened over here? This is a regular case of Chaimish, like we said at the beginning of this panic. He was holding onto a pikatan, an object for safekeeping. He falsely claimed that he didn't have it, and he took an oath to that effect. And now he admits that he lied. What is the law? He must return the object, the pikatan, and then add on a fifth to it. However, after he admitted, the Yetzirah evidently got a hold of him again. And now he claims again that it was lost, and he takes an oath to that effect. He says, yeah, you're right, I taka found it, but now I lost it again. And he takes an oath to that effect. And what happens after that? And then he admits that the second time he also lied, and he also took a false oath. What happens? Meshalim chaimish lachol shvua imakeren ha'echad. He must add on a chaimish, or fifth, to every single false oath he took, together with the one principle. In other words, let's say the object was worth $100, and he denied having it anymore and took an oath, and then he admitted, and then took another false oath, and then he admitted and took a third false oath. He would have to pay back $175, $100 for the principal, then it's $25 for the first false oath, $25 a chemish for the second false oath, and another $25 for the third false oath. How do we know that he has to pay back for each single time? Shanamar, again, we learn it from the same pasuk, v'chamishisav yeseif alav. He must add on many fifths. Melameid shumashalim kamach. This teaches us that he will pay back even many one-fifth penalties, even on one principle, the one pikadin that he was holding on to.